Want to be sure you are getting the most out of your retirement? For all the years of your retirement? That's the primary goal of More Living with Jim Brogan and our Dollars and Cents segment, where we provide you with an important financial tip that will help positively impact the quality of your life in retirement. And now, here's Jim with this week's Dollars and Cents tip.
Let's discuss understanding how assets transfer upon your death. What does the will cover? What does the will not cover? And where does that lead to mistakes and issues? So it's very important to understand. So first off, when we jointly own something, like my wife and I own our house. So if I die first, she automatically owns the house. There's no legal process. The will doesn't govern anything. Her name's on the house, so she automatically owns the house. So when we have a joint investment account or a joint bank account or anything like that. Now we cannot own retirement accounts jointly, right? It's an individual retirement account. So if I have a 401k or an IRA, I own it myself, but I name her as the beneficiary. And when you name a beneficiary, it also, as a matter of law, goes directly to that beneficiary according to what's on the beneficiary designation. Put another way, the will has absolutely nothing to do, if you have a living beneficiary, the will has nothing to do with how those assets transfer. The other thing that you have to understand is, you know, people ask me all the time about the probate process and how difficult is it and all these things. You have to understand, probate in Latin actually means prove the will. So, in other words, if the will is the document that's governing the asset, it is going to go through probate. So, when we own things jointly, doesn't go through probate. When we name a beneficiary designation, does not go through probate. If you have a contingent beneficiary named on your retirement accounts, does not go through probate. Now, when we own real property, like our house, the only way we can get real property to our kids without probate is to put it in a living trust. That's a topic for another Dollars and Cents segment. But it's important to understand these things, because think about how many pages your will is. Your will may be, typically I see wills are 8, 10, maybe 12 pages long, and there's a lot of legal language in there. But when you jointly own an asset, or more importantly, when you own something and name someone else as the beneficiary, all that legal language has nothing to do with who gets what and how. It's the beneficiary designation, or if something's jointly titled. So coordinating all those things is so critically important. And I'll tell you where people can get tripped up. I've even seen instances where a husband and wife get a divorce. They do a divorce agreement. They redo their assets. You know, the husband gets this, the wife gets that, whatever. And I've seen instances where one of the ex-spouses, they don't rename beneficiaries on their retirement account. Like, let's say you're 401k, and you redo your will, and you leave everything to your kids. The problem is, as a matter of law, if that beneficiary designation still says your ex-spouse, guess what? If you die first, that's where that money's going. It's a simple matter of law. And when it's ever gone to the Supreme Court, and it has gone to the Supreme Court, it's been summarily defeated that the beneficiary designation has the legal precedent. It supersedes the will. So just understanding the basics of how assets transfer and how you have to coordinate these different kinds of assets and make sure that it's all part of one cohesive plan.
That's our Dollars and Cents segment for this week. You can find this week's Dollars and Cents segment and others by visiting BroganFinancial.com.